Turn with me to the book of Luke. A reason to rejoice, a reason for joy. This was the fourth message for today. I just have struggled for a month on what to preach today. I'm not even really sure that this is the right one or not. I think it is. And it came to pass. Luke chapter 2, verse number 1. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. By the way, that verse is put in there to demonstrate the historical accuracy of the Bible. Verse number 3. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son. Words mean things. If it says firstborn, it means that there's probably going to be a secondborn and a thirdborn. Mary had other children after Jesus. This destroys the false heretical teaching of the Roman Catholic Church whenever it calls Mary a perpetual virgin. That is not biblical. That's not doctrinal. She was a virgin whenever the baby Jesus was conceived in her womb, and she was a virgin when she gave birth to Jesus. And after that, she had other children, and Joseph was her father, firstborn. Wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. Verse number 11, there's a word there that you might need to circle in your Bible if you've not done it yet. It is the word you. For unto you, Jesus is a personal Savior. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude. I looked up the word multitude, and it carries with it the thought of to fill. Imagine, if you will, that you're out on the countryside, keeping watch over sheep. Apparently it's dark. An angel Lord comes along and makes a proclamation, and then suddenly a multitude, the entire sky was filled with angels, angelic beings. That's what a multitude is. A multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. All they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Did you get what you needed over there, Ellie? I saw you darting over there out of the corner of my eye. I didn't know if she was killing a bug or getting some tissues. Apparently you're getting some tissues. Good job. Way to do it so quickly. I don't know if anybody else in this congregation could move that quickly. Amen. The Christmas story, truthfully, never grows old. It's fresh every year. As I said earlier, it's not really a holiday. It's a holy day. Many of the songs that we sing at Christmas time have the words rejoice or joy in them. What child is this? O holy night. Hark, the herald angels sing. It should be hark, the herald angels say, but we won't get into that. O come, all ye faithful. God rest you, merry gentlemen. Joy to the world. The birth of Jesus ought to bring joy to the world. And all God's people said, it ought to bring joy to our lives. It ought to mean something. When Jesus arrived on the scene in Bethlehem, it was a reminder to a dark world that God had not forgotten them. In fact, God had been orchestrating a plan for thousands of years. At Christmas time, perhaps better than any other time, we're reminded that no matter what is going on in the world around us, no matter what burdens we're carrying, there can always be joy in the presence of God. Point number one today is going to be this. I'm clicking it a little early. We can rejoice, we can joy in God's providence. Now, the definition, Amber. Providence. Providence is the governing power of God that oversees His creation and works out His plans for it. God has a plan for your life today. God's working. You say, well, what is He doing? Well, may I say this? He's not always obligated to tell us. But you can take comfort in this. He is working. We notice in verse number 1 the phrase, and it came to pass. And it says, and it came to pass in those days. Those days were challenging days for the Jewish people. The Roman Empire had conquered the entire region. They had subdued the Jewish people. At this point, the Roman Empire was the greatest military empire on the face of the earth. They were not known for being nice. They were cruel. They were difficult rulers. They did not allow challenges against their government. The Jewish people were put under this oppression. In fact, not only did the Jewish people have to begin to answer to a foreign power that worshiped pagan gods, but they also had to obey Caesar's command that everybody would be taxed. I imagine that in this time that it was not a joyful time for Joseph and Mary. Think about it. They had to journey 80 miles approximately from Nazareth to Bethlehem. This is during the last month of her pregnancy, which I know most women would love to take an 80-mile journey on donkey back or walking while you're 9 months pregnant. Said no lady ever. I got an idea that Joseph probably was the object of scorn during this time. Might have been a little difficult time in their marriage. I saw a meme the other day that Joseph was talking to Mary and she's on the back of the donkey and he looks at her and he says, honey, I know I should have made reservations. And then the saying says, thus began the first silent night. This was probably not a time of joy for them. Though, can I say this? I see the providence of God in this. See, Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth, but the prophecies said that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem. I've often wondered, why had not Mary and Joseph already made that journey? I find in their lives maybe a little bit of doubt and maybe unbelief as to, was this really going to be the Son of God? Can I say this today? God can work in our lives in spite of our doubts. God can work in our lives in spite of our disobedience. I don't know about you, but I'm glad. Because there are times that I doubt, times I disobey. And I'm glad that God still orchestrates those things in my life. Caesar may have been ruler, but God was in charge. Always remember that. Caesar may have been the king, but God was still God. So we see the providence of God. He originates history. Verse 1, 2, and 3 says that it came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world would be taxed. I'm reminded of this. Not only did God create the world and everything that is in it, the Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, but hundreds of years before Jesus was born, God had already wrote the history of this event. You see, over 350 times in the Old Testament, remember that, over 350 times in the Old Testament, prophecies were given concerning the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. From His supernatural birth, to His miraculous life, to His finished work on the cross, to His mighty resurrection, and His soon coming again. 350 plus times the Old Testament references the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of those places is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse number 14. The Bible says, therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. Matthew tells us the word Emmanuel, the song that Amber sang this morning, Emmanuel means God with us. So we have that prophecy about 700 years before the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 7:14, but we also have Isaiah writing this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder. And His name, not names, plural, but name. Whenever you talk about Jesus, all of these other characteristics are part of Him. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. How many in this room today can say, preacher, I've known Jesus by several of those names in my life? Amen. I've known Him as Counselor. There have been times whenever He was the only one that I felt like I could cry out to. There were times that I felt like He was the only one that understood what I was going through. I can't tell you how many times that I thought, He's wonderful. Wow, that's wonderful. I've known Him as the mighty God. And I've known Him throughout my saved adult life as my everlasting Father. And I cannot even begin to tell you the numbers of times that He has brought peace into my heart when there shouldn't be any peace there. But His name shall be called all of those things. See, God originates history. God did not just prophesy about the birth of His Son. He did not just say, it's going to happen. It did happen. See, we hear many times from our leaders today, well, it's going to happen. And it never happens. well, we're going to have a balanced budget, or whatever else. Justice is going to be fair to everybody. Whatever. As your ruler, as your leader, I'll never lie to you. Liar. They prophesy all those things, don't they? But it never comes to pass. God prophesied, and it came to pass. For the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. See, everything starts and ends with God. He originates history, but God also orchestrates history. All of this occurred just as the Scripture said. Look at it, verse number 4. Verse number 4. The Word of God says, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of Bethlehem. Right? History. A.T. Pearson used to say, history is in reality his story. It's God's story. Knowing that these events were pre-planned and pre-guided for the glory of God should help us to realize something. You ready? God has a plan for our lives too. You say, I don't know what it is. That's okay. He does. He knows what it is. Being confident of this very thing, the Apostle Paul said, while he was in prison for preaching the gospel, for obeying God, he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. I wonder if Mary and Joseph had doubts. I wonder if there were times that they disobeyed. You know, sometimes we look at some of the characters in the Bible and we think they were some kind of unbelievable, off the chart, super saints. But you know what? They were just like you and I. They struggled with the same things you and I struggled with. And oftentimes the Bible records those things. God used Caesar's edict to carry out his plan. Joseph and Mary may not have understood it, but you know what they were actually doing? They were fulfilling a 700-year-old prophecy. I wrote down a few things as I was thinking about Joseph and Mary, and I'll just read them to you. Nothing that happens in this world can override God's timetable. God has a plan and He'll move mankind in whatever direction they need to go in order to fulfill His plan. Joseph and Mary needed to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem, a distance of over 80 miles, in order for God's plan to be carried out. This may have seemed difficult. Mary's condition, their finances, time off from work, travel expenses. Why would God allow these difficulties to come in their lives? Maybe if we were looking at them, we would think, wow, they already have enough burdens. Why is God adding another burden? You know what our problem is? We don't see it from His side. See, God will lead us to where He wants us to be in order to fulfill His will for our lives. Remember this. Always remember this. It's a great quote by Spurgeon. When we cannot trace his hand, we can always trust his heart. You might not be able to understand what he's doing in your life, but you can know this. God is too good to be unkind. From an outsider's point of view, it may seem like God was being unkind to Joseph and Mary by allowing them to endure these hardships. God didn't do this to see them suffer. But rather, he did it so they could participate in his plan. When we're overwhelmed with trials, we must understand and remember God has a plan for our life. You and I can rejoice in his providence. Number two, verse 6. The Bible says this, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. You and I can joy not only in his providence, but also in his presence. God could have given us anything, but you know what he knew? He knew what we needed most. Him. He gave us his presence. Notice verse number 7. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. That moment in history, God became a man. The Savior was delivered. He was born in a stable, placed normally for animals. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes, a gauze-type material that was normally not used for wrapping newborns. It's rather rough. It's usually used for wrapping dead people in. A very reminder at the birth of Jesus that he came to die. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. More than likely, this area where they were at was not a barn-type structure. Back in the New Testament days, they would have probably had a place carved out in the rock. Cold, dark, dingy, damp. There's no room for them in the inn. Have you ever wondered about that at verse number 7, the end of that, there was no room for them in the inn? No room. Why? Because they were late getting there? Did they not have family there? Were there so many people that had come? I don't know. But I know that apart from the luxuries of everything, really apart from everyone else, during a very dark time, Jesus came into the world. There's always a joy when there's a baby born. Always a joy. Can you imagine? Mary and Joseph were there, the birth child, wrapping him up, taking care of him there in those early moments. I don't know how much time there was, but all of a sudden the shepherds show up. And they're saying, hey, you won't believe this, but angels talked to us. And Mary and Joseph are probably thinking, well, you won't believe this, but angels talked to us too. I wonder when the reality really began to set in with them. And this was not just a baby, but this baby really was the Son of God. I got an idea that there was, in the middle of that dark place, there was joy. You know why? Because Jesus was there. I'm reminded that in the middle of our dark places and our dark times, there can still be joy. You know why? Because Jesus is there with you. I see joy in His presence, joy in His providence, but also God provided something. The day Jesus was born was the greatest, was the day that the greatest gift that the world has ever known was given. You know, I think back through the years, and I thought about it early this morning, thinking about Christmas past. As a little boy growing up, I can remember some of the gifts that I got through the years. Some of my favorite gifts. One year my dad gave me a bow and arrow set. I was pretty excited. Not every day a four-year-old gets bow and arrow. I probably wasn't four. I don't know how old it was, but I remember. One year my dad gave me a hunting knife. I don't know, a big old knife like that. I wore that thing in that little scabbard, walked around. I was about 9, 10. My dad told me, he said, two rules. Number one, don't cut yourself. I violated that one multiple times. Second rule was, don't cut anything you're not supposed to. The first one didn't have consequences too bad, except for blood. But the second one did not bring much joy. I stabbed the couch. Well, I was watching Tarzan, you know, and so I just jumped and like it was a lion, man, and I stabbed that couch right through the cushion. Being, I don't know how it was, 10, 11 years old, I thought, I'll just flip the cushion over. Without realizing that apparently my mom could tell that a cushion was flipped over. How? I have no idea, but she did. And within just a day or two, not only did she flip the cushion over, but with a keen eye, she saw the hole. It was just one stab. It wasn't like I cut the top off of anything. The way my dad acted like, you would have thought that I skinned it. He skinned me. I'm going to tell you something. I have never stabbed another couch my whole life. Ever. The treatment my dad gave me cured me from that desire forever. There was no joy that day. That has nothing to do with the sermon. That was just a story I wanted to tell you. I was thinking about Christmas this morning. I was thinking about Christmas when our kids were little. I remember the night me and Willie Johnson stayed up assembling the swing set. And in Florida, whenever you assemble a swing set and you buried the legs in the sand a little bit, and the next day your kids are playing on it, and two of them are swinging, and the whole swing set turns over on top of them, you realize that the instruction said you need to put concrete around the legs. So I was thinking about that. Think about other times. My dad reminded us, as he was here with us the last couple days, he reminded us that 21 years ago, just 2 days before Christmas, 3 days before Christmas, my grandmother passed away. And I was talking to my dad. My dad told me, he said, I sure do miss you. And he said, for the life of me, I'll never understand why you moved to Indiana. I said, Dad, if it wasn't for God doing it, I wouldn't have done it. Because I miss my family. I miss you. I miss my mom. I said, but you know, one day I was reading a story. about a missionary. This is an old, years ago missionary couple. And somebody asked them, how can you go and serve? And I think at that point they were serving in China. How can you go and live in China whenever your children and grandchildren are living in America and you haven't seen them for almost 20 years? And the lady looked at the man that was asking and said, because we believe in heaven. We may not see them here, but we'll be able to spend eternity with them in heaven. But we only have a short time here to serve God. And I asked my dad, I said, Dad, do you believe in heaven? He said, well, yeah. I said, and I'll see you all I want in heaven. I said, but until then, I've got to follow God's will for my life. You know, even in the difficult times, there can still be joy. Because God will provide exactly what you need. I see on this day that God provided Himself. There's joy in His provision. The provision for salvation. When we understand the importance of Christ's presence, not presence like Christmas present, but presence, then we can have real joy. Let me ask you, are you joyful today? It's Christmas. I know many of us are missing loved ones. Some we're missing because we're far away from them. Some we're missing because of strained relationships. Some we're missing because they're in heaven. But even though there's that ache, there can still be a joy. You know why? Because Jesus gave Himself for you and I. I guess what I have to ask myself this Christmas is, am I willing to make this Christmas about Him and not about me? See, there's so much of our lives that are wrapped up in us. If we're not careful, we'll forget about Him. In Japan, recently, a reporter walked down the street and asked Japanese people what they thought about Christmas. They had the Christmas decorations up and all of that. And I stopped one young man and asked him, said, what is Christmas to you? And he looked right at him and said, isn't that the day that Jesus died? Had no idea. You and I, out of all people, ought to have joy today. You know why? Because we know the real meaning of Christmas. It was the day that Jesus came to save your soul and mine. It was the day that Emmanuel was no longer just an Old Testament word, but Emmanuel became a New Testament word, God with us. Am I willing this Christmas to let Him have me? Am I willing to let go of everything and just let God have His way in my life this Christmas? What a difference it would have made if Joseph and Mary would not have done that. They could have said no. But instead, they chose to obey God even when they didn't understand. When you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and you allow Him to become Lord of your life, then you have every reason to rejoice this season. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning.